That is very exciting. If that doesn't get you excited, nothing in this world will get you excited. God is here today, and I'm excited because I don't even know where He wants to go. You're being captained by a ship that doesn't even know His direction. But we have a captain that does. If you need a Bible or a bulletin, can you raise your hand? And we're going to get those in your hands very quickly. You know, in the last 4 weeks, we've worked at establishing a faithful and steadfast foundation. We've been talking for 4 weeks now out of Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We've been discussing six foundational truths. Rock solid, steadfast, absolute tenets that we can build our lives with confidence upon. We're laying a foundation, both as a church, but I hope that you see this more importantly as individuals. Men, I'm speaking to you for a moment. You're laying a foundation for your home, for your family. That's your job. Be the man that God has called you to be as we lay this foundation. But for every believer, this is a unique and particular opportunity for you to lay the foundation upon which you will build your entire life. I told you Hebrews chapter 6. If you want to find that, go ahead and take a moment and find Hebrews 6 verses 1 through 3. And they'll be up here on the screen as well if you'd like to follow along. But this is where we've been drawing the truth from. It says, "Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so." God permitting, we will do so. God's heart is permitting. God wants us to lay that foundation. He wants us to build lives that we can stand in confidence with. That you don't have to worry about the storm as it rolls in. And it will come. Many of you are in the middle of that storm right now. But with this kind of foundation, you don't have to worry about how hard the wind blows or how heavy the rain falls. Because this foundation is sure. It will not move. It will not be shaken. And guess what? It will never be overcome. Never. The foundation of Jesus Christ outlined in these six truths. We began a few weeks ago with repentance. I told you, you can't do anything until you have repentance in your life. And I told you that repentance is more than remorse and regret for the past wrongs in our lives. Repentance instead is a change in the way that we think. It's a choice to change the way we think about sin in our lives. About our own sin in our lives. It's easy for me to look at your sin and to say, "Wow, that's really bad." But it's a little tougher for me to say, "Wow, you know what? I'm pretty messed up too." And repentance is the process of changing the way that we look at it. It's a process of no longer being content with compromise in our lives. I'm not okay with that anymore. Repentance is a choice to change the direction of your life. To stop chasing after those things that your entire life have left you empty and broken. You know what I'm talking about. Those paths that you've walked on for all these years, and you know what's at the end of that road. Emptiness. Brokenness. Repentance is a choice to stop following that path and instead to follow the path of God. It's a choice that you have to make. It's a choice that we all have to make every single day. It's tough. Every single day. We move from repentance then. A couple weeks ago, we moved to faith in God. And I think in the last few weeks, it's safe to say that we've learned a lot about faith in God. I hope that along with us, you have learned that faith is much greater than reason. Faith is not limited like reason. Faith is greater than hope. We learned that it is faith, the gift of faith from God, through which we can receive the power and the promises of God today. Faith allows that. Hope is always about tomorrow. Faith is today. In faith, God pours out His power. And in faith, you can rest in His promises today. So it is greater than hope. We also learn that faith is described in the Bible as the substance. It is described as the substance of things hoped for. And last week, we learned that the substance of our faith, or what it is made of, what each of our faiths is made of, is very important. It's incredibly important because it establishes the value of your faith. You know, many faiths look the same on the outside, don't they? You walk into a church like this and you start looking at everybody's faiths, and guess what? They all look about the same. But it's what's on the inside that really counts. And that's what God sees. I hope as you've considered that message this last week, I hope you have. And as you've been considering it, I wonder as you give close examination to your own faith and you consider what it's made of, have you realized that your faith is a lot like the Pharisees' faith we talked about last week? Have you realized that even though your faith might look and sound great on the outside, on the inside, it's just filled with lifeless words and void of any real power? Those are tough things to come to that reality of, but you know what? That's the case. For a lot of people across this nation that sit in churches every single Sunday, that is the truth about what their faith is composed of. It looks and sounds great, but on the inside, it's completely dead. Do you have faith like the Pharisees? Or maybe when you took a closer look this last week, you realize that your faith is composed entirely of your works. It's all about what you do, what you did. You know, Tim, I've come to church for years. I even pray before every meal. On occasion, I've been known to put a 20 in the plate. Wow! It's all about what I've done. See, if that's the case, you're guilty, just like the disciples were back then, of having a faith that is made of works. And the Bible says that's not really faith at all. Today, perhaps that's the case. Maybe you're recognizing that ever so clearly today, that your faith has always been based upon what you've done. And today, even as you sit here right now, you have a very empty feeling. Even as you hear the truth of God and as you sing the praises of God, even right now, you know that there has to be something more. There's got to be more than that. If God is as great as this book says that He is, there's got to be more than the way that I'm feeling right now. Is your faith composed of dead works? Have you been guilty of trying to fit God, our infinite, awesome, mighty, creator God, who breathed stars into existence? Are you guilty of trying to fit that God into some simple little equation? Because He won't go. He's bigger than that. Or perhaps you realize this week, and I hope that you have the faith similar to the Father that we read about in last week's passage. You have a faith that right now you're crying out, "I believe." But at the same time, you're saying, "God, I need you to help my unbelief. Lord, I believe, but help me. Help me with my unbelief." Perhaps today that's exactly where you are. I don't know. You know, I spoke to someone a few weeks ago when we started this, and I said I was going to spend about 6 weeks on Hebrews 6. And he said, "What are you going to teach on?" And I said, "Faith in God." And he said, "Let me tell you something. You'll spend six weeks just on faith in God." And he was right. In fact, I could talk on faith in God every Sunday from now until the return of Christ, and I still wouldn't get through all the truth that the Word has about something as awesome as the gift of faith. I wouldn't even touch the surface, barely. But today, I am going to bring this to a close. Today, I only have one more truth I want to share with you about faith in God. Just one. You know, so your pencils and your hands get a rest this week. Just one truth. It's easy. No, it's never easy. What is that truth? As we finish laying this second stone in place, faith in God, as we finish laying that stone, the final truth I want to share with you today is this. That an unspoken faith is also an unfinished faith. If your faith is unspoken, then by the truth of the Word of God, your faith is also unfinished. It is not complete. In Matthew 12:34, Jesus makes this connection for us. He makes a connection between the condition of our hearts, what we believe in our hearts, and what comes forth from our mouths. He says in Matthew 12:34, "For it is from the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks." That's true. Have you ever been in those positions in life where you have been pressed so hard and you feel like you're just at the end of your ropes, and then all of a sudden somebody shakes you a little bit? What comes out at that moment? That's what's in your heart. When you're not able to dictate and choose your words, what just comes out naturally, that's what's in your heart. And Christ says that it is from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So if in your heart is filled with faith and love for God, guess what? When somebody shakes you a little bit, guess what's going to come out? Faith and love in God. Paul also emphasizes this same point in Romans chapter 10 when he says in verse 9, he says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth. He says further in verse 10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, but it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Not the words of Tim. You can look it up. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. So somebody right now, I can read your mind. Right now, you're just... in your head, it's screaming, "Tim, are you trying to tell me that to have real faith in God, I have to be willing to talk about it?" No. I'm telling you that if you have real faith in God, you will want to talk about it. You will want to share it with every single person you come in contact with. Paul was writing to Timothy, his beloved son, a struggling young pastor. He wrote to Timothy and he said this about the importance of a good confession. He said, "Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses." Paul says, be strong, fight the good fight, and know that you are called and know that you are saved because of the confession that you made. Take heart in that. Hold on to it. Verbalizing or speaking our faith, confessing our faith, it also completes it. It brings it all together. It completes your faith. But now, the number one or the biggest fear in the general person across this world, you know what it is? Public speaking. People fear public speaking more than they fear dying. People fear public speaking more than they fear sharks, which just blows my mind. You know? I'm just telling you, it's weird. You know, but public speaking is the number one fear. So many people today are already beginning to worry about, well, what do I have to say? What do I have to do? How does this work? Oh, Tim, you're telling me to confess it. How do I confess something? Well, you should know the word confess, okay, when you get to the basics of the word, is from the Greek word homologia, which means very simply to say the same thing as. To say the same thing as. That's what that word essentially means. To speak the same words as something else. So what that means is that when I confess Jesus Christ, what I'm doing essentially is that I am saying the same thing as what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ. I don't have to make it up on my own. When I give a good confession about Christ, All I'm doing is reiterating what the Word of God already says about Christ. That's confession. That's what we are called to. Last week, you saw Jeremy and Jen and Tara all make public confessions of Jesus Christ. They said the exact same thing about Jesus Christ that the Word of God in Matthew 16:16 says about Jesus Christ. That's a lot of talking. But they said that they believe that He, Jesus, is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a public confession of faith. And the thing that just rocks my world every time I think about it is that when we choose to do that, when we choose to have our faith completed by confessing our faith, guess what at the same time is happening in the heavens? Jesus is standing before God and saying, He's mine. He's confessing us before the Father. And that is an awesome, awesome ain't the right word. That's really cool. You know? When I say, I believe that you are the Christ, Jesus looks down and says, and guess what, boy? You belong to me. He tells the Father, "You, Tim belongs to me. Brenda, you belong to me." Confessing your faith, it completes your faith. Because an unspoken faith is also an unfinished faith. And God wants you to finish it. God wants you to live in it today, which requires confession. So now what? What are we going to do? I told you this morning I only had one truth to share with you. Just one thing. An unfinished faith, or an unconfessed faith, an unspoken faith, is an unfinished faith. So what are we going to do? Well, I'm going to share with you real quick one thing that I struggle with that pertains to this. All right? And I share it because, guess what? Most of you struggle with the same thing. All right? Often, I will hear perhaps a great sermon. Or like this morning, I will be part of a powerful worship service where we are brought before the feet of God, right into the throne room of God. I've been part of that. Or maybe I read a great book or an awesome portion of Scripture. And in all those things, God speaks very clearly to me. God says, Tim, I got something I want to tell you. Here, come here, listen to me for a moment. I'm going to share this with you. Here's a truth. Here's an application. Here's what I want you to do. But guess what I do? I write it down. Or maybe I put it on a post-it note. Or maybe I log it into my journal. Or I make a mental note of it. But guess what? Ultimately, I don't do anything. I don't do what it is that God has told me to do. God has shared with me this great truth that can change the course of my life, and I just continue walking the same way. Lord, that's awesome. Let me write that down. I'm going to keep on walking. No, I didn't do anything. But that's what I do. See, my struggle, and I believe many of the struggles that Christians in this room have today, is that we are educated well past our point of obedience. We know a lot. We have access to the Word of God like no other country in the world. You are well educated. If you're not, it's by your own choice. But you are well educated in the Word of God. But we are educated far past where we have been called to be obedient. God teaches me things. God challenges me with things. God faces me in positions where I'm able to make decisions that can change the course of my life. But instead of taking action, instead of being obedient, what do? I just move on to the next thing. To the next Bible study. To the next Sunday school. To the next church service. I just keep on moving. I'm never obedient. Just keep on putting it up here, but never doing anything with it. We are, as a people, we are educated past our level of obedience. And it's happening every day. It happens in the church every single day. Perhaps this morning, and I would challenge you, If your answer to this is no, I'm not sure where you were. But this morning, we had a powerful time of worship. This morning, you got a chance to stand before the holy God of the universe, the awesome creator, the Lord of lords and the King of kings. All right? And I think for some of you, he brought you this morning already to a place of decision. But now what will you do with it? Maybe some of you are in great small groups. There's some awesome small groups meeting in this church. Awesome. Wednesday nights, we have an awesome small group that meets here. But perhaps in that small group, God has challenged you to walk deeper. Perhaps he is calling you to more personal accountability with a fellow brother or sister in Christ. But the question still comes back, what are you going to do with that? Perhaps somewhere you've heard a good message. Perhaps someone has taught you from the Word of God. And in that message, God has identified for you choices and decisions that you need to make. But what have you done with it? Have you been obedient? Did you just let the moment pass you by? I told you there are six stones, six foundational truths that we are going to lay in establishing a sure and steadfast foundation. We've done two. But before we go on to the next four, we need to work on obedience. We need to let our obedience catch up with what we already know. So, have you been obedient to what the Spirit is calling you to do? In these last weeks, what has God shown you? Have you just come in every Sunday morning and spent an hour and a half of your life and then gone back home? Sadly, that's true for some. But what has the Spirit of God shown you in these last couple weeks? Where has the Spirit of God challenged you in these last couple of weeks? What has he been working on you in? What decisions is he pushing you to make? Have you been obedient? Have you done it? Or are you just trying to move on to the next thing? I know without any shadow of a doubt that there are a lot of choices that need to be made today. You say, Tim, you kind of put me on the spot. Yeah. Yeah. Tim, this is a little deeper than I thought. Tim, it's my first Sunday here. What are you doing to me? Listen, God brought you here. All right? You're here for a reason. You're here to hear exactly what it is, and I'm telling you today. God's calling you to obedience. So here this morning, we need to make some choices. We need to make some decisions. We need to be obedient. For some folks in this room right now, you need to make the choice, the most important choice you will ever make in your life. You need to make the choice to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You need to make that choice. And there might be that person right now that's sitting here thinking, well, I'm considering it. Friend, the Bible does not guarantee you tomorrow. You are not guaranteed your next breath. Okay? You need to make a choice today that Jesus Christ, you need to invite him into your life to be not only your Lord, but also your Savior. Romans 10:13, I've told you this is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Romans 10:13 says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means that when you walked in here today with all that junk and garbage in your life, and you said, there's no way God can possibly work on me today. There's no way I can make this decision today. God says, nope, you're wrong. Everyone, no matter what you brought in here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There will never be a better moment for you to make that decision than right now. Do it. Do it. Be obedient. Some here today, you've made that choice. And now today, you need to be obedient and take that first step. And you need to be baptized. No class. No long discussion. If God has brought you here today to do that, then be obedient today. Guess what? I'll toss my phone and my wallet and I'll get in there with you. We'll do it today. You hear me? You need to be obedient today. The first step of obedience. If God is calling you to baptism, then be baptized today. Be obedient today. Don't take another step forward. Don't leave this place until you have been obedient with where God has called you to be. Make that choice. Brothers and sisters, some of you today, you're still struggling with repentance. There are still sins in your life that you are giving home to, that you are letting take refuge in your life. That needs to end. They say, Tim, I don't know what your sin is, but God is bringing it to the front of your heart right now. I know He is. He's bringing mine there too. But God is showing you right now those sins in your life that you need to stop compromising on. You need to make a decision today to be obedient to the Lord and to repent. To change your outlook. To change the way that you view sin in your life. To look at it the same way that God looks at it. And when God looks at our sin, guess what? He hates it. He hates it. There is no room for it. There is no place for it. Not for a holy God. And for us, His holy people, we must be the same. No room, no place, no compromise for sin in our lives. Repentance today. You need to choose it today. And for many of us, time has come that you stop being so quiet. The time has come for you to open your mouth. For many of you, you've made all the decisions and you've walked all the walk, and yet your faith is still not quite there yet. You know why? It's not because your faith is unable. Your faith is just not finished. Your faith is not unable, it is just unfinished. And today, you need to confess. Today, you need to publicly confess Jesus Christ. To say the same thing about Jesus as the Word says about Jesus. To finish your faith. A lot of us need to make that choice today. Romans 10:10 again says, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." There's confession that needs to be made. I believe, to be honest with you, that there is testimony to be given today. I believe there are people in this room right now who God has led you to this place to share with your fellow brothers and sisters a testimony. I don't know who you are, but I believe that. And I believe that you need to be obedient. And I'm going to give you the opportunity here to do that. What is God showing you? Where is He pushing you? How is He challenging you? What is the Holy Spirit making so real to you right now? Don't wait. Don't wait for the next thing to come. Don't wait for next Sunday and Tim will get off this soapbox and get back into normal. Don't wait. It's not my faith. It's yours. God's calling you. Be obedient. We're going to pray. As we pray, I got to tell you guys, I was sharing this with a few of the elders and some of my friends. You know what? I got no idea what to expect. And that's really exciting to me right now. I'm kind of encouraged by that I have no idea what to expect. But we're going to pray. And then I think what I'd like to do is, Ted, if you and Greg would stand up here with communion. And I would just like for one row at a time to come forward and to receive your communion. And as you come forward and receive your communion, and in that time you're remembering what God did for you and me. Let me tell you something. You think Jesus compromised? You think Jesus waited for the next thing? Jesus had one mission in life. That was the cross. One mission, and nothing would get Him off of that mission. Nothing would stand in His way. It was a straight shot from Bethlehem to Calvary. He did it for you and me. He would not be compromised. He would not be deterred. And today, as you step forward and you partake in communion, and we invite everyone who is a believer, everyone who knows Jesus Christ, to step forward and to share with us in communion. But as you step forward, remember that He would not compromise for you. Be obedient now for Him. And I would challenge you, whatever that is, I will be over here, and a few other individuals will be here, and you let me know. You let me know whatever that is. And brother, sister, we will take that step today. I'm not holding back. Whatever it is, we're going to do it. If you're ready, I'm ready. Be obedient today. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We give you all honor and all glory. Lord, you alone are worthy. Father, this morning, teach us what it is to be obedient. Lord, show us the need in our lives for repentance, for those things in our life that we have made room for, that they lead us to places of destruction. Father, we don't want to go that way anymore. Father, help us. We choose repentance. Help us to make that choice and see that sin the way that you see it. Father, for some of us, we have to honestly admit that we don't even know who you are. That you are still just a book. But God, today that can change. Father, move our hearts. Lord, help us to make that decision. Today, help us to decide that you are the Christ. You are my Messiah. You are my Redeemer. You bought me back from my own sin. You paid the price. Lord, you stood in my place. You died my death. Yet you rose again. And because of that, I too can have eternal life. If today I will receive you. Father, help us. Move our hearts. Father, this morning, if we have been silent for too long, Lord, give us a boldness, not a boldness of man, but a boldness of the Holy Spirit, to speak boldly and proudly those words that you share with us, those truths that we find in your book. Lord, help us to be willing and desiring to share with others this great gift that you have first shared with us. Help us to complete our faith, Father. Help us to live in the kind of faith that you have given to us so freely. God, we need you today. I need you today. Father, help us to be obedient. Name of your Son, in the only name that can accomplish any of these things, in the only name under all of heaven that has the power to change lives, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Again, one row at a time. We'll take our time. But as you step forward to receive communion from Ted and from Greg today, I would encourage you to, as you remember what Christ did for you, to be willing now to give forth the only viable. My mind is gone. To answer what Christ has done for you, with the only thing that is worthy, and that is your very life. To give it all. To be obedient to where He's called you to be.